This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. Austin always starts to get a certain feeling in early March. South by Southwest starts in a few days. Spring break just around the corner. In 2018, there had been a fatal package bombing on March 2nd at a house in North Austin. But at that point, police were treating it as an isolated incident. That bomb, though, turned out to be the first of five bombs that would go off over the next few weeks. A sixth bomb was found before it exploded, and the serial bomber then killed himself by detonating a seventh bomb. Austin Police Chief Brian Maley was interim chief at the time of the bombings. Now he talks about developments with the case, the police department, and the city since those days last March. APD's investigation into the bombing is still technically open, but Manley says no matter the status of the case, he will never release the bomber's videotaped confession.
There is absolutely nothing on that tape that will provide anybody any sense of closure or any motive for the bomber doing what he did. But instead, I think that this would make communities around the country less safe. If I felt like there was a public benefit to releasing this, that it would answer some questions or that it would make communities more resilient if they're facing something like this, I would absolutely release it. But instead, what this is it's his account of really what he did. He talks about himself, but we look at it as it's almost an after-action report that he was doing. He self-identifies mistakes that he made. He talks about those mistakes, and he says, I think that that's how they caught me. I think that's how they got onto me here. And he's not all wrong. So some of the things that he said on that video are things that we were able to capitalize on and move that investigation as quickly as we did. And I believe putting that out in the public space where it will live on the internet or in media for quite a while, I think that's irresponsible because we know that mass shooters have oftentimes studied other mass shooters. Bombers, I'm not as familiar with them, but my federal partners tell me the same thing. They study each other's work. We would believe that if there were to be someone inclined to take on this kind of a violent assault in the future, they would come across this if it was in public space, and they would learn from the bomber's mistakes and make them more difficult to capture. And then at the end of the day, sometimes a motivation for people that create these kind of attacks, whether it's a mass shooting or what we saw here with the bombing, is they just want that notoriety. They want that infamy. And I'm not inclined to give it to them.
So the FBI said in closing their case that they didn't find any ideological motivations. They found no links to terrorist groups or hate groups. On the tape, the bomber doesn't profess any ideology either or really point to a specific motivation. What is it like to not have a clear idea of why this person did this?
It's frustrating. We're never going to know. But there's no answer that he could have given. There's nothing he could have said on that tape that would make any of this okay. I question myself on what did I want to hear? What would I have liked to have heard? I think it's human nature. We want to understand why someone could do such a violent act and take so many innocent lives or injure so many. But in this one, there's nothing that we're ever going to uncover from what we have right now that's going to give us that motive. And we're left with the unknowing.
Later, you said you believe that the bomber was a domestic terrorist for what he did to us. There was a lot of discussion about, should he be called a terrorist or not, a domestic terrorist or not? If that had not been such a point of discussion and concern in the community, would you have changed your assessment from not calling him that before to calling him that?
The decision to call him a domestic terrorist was based on a lot of conversation that was taking place. I think it's first important to talk about why I wasn't willing to call him a terrorist during the investigation. You know, number one, that's a federal charge and that's the federal jurisdiction. So, you know, I was working very closely with federal partners, and to declare him a terrorist would bring us into a whole different level of investigation. And if we were going to end up at that point, I wanted to make sure that we were there for the right reasons. And so, you know, in conversation with the partners at the federal level, we never crossed that threshold where this would have met a prosecutable level where it could be called terrorism. So I was in an effort really to protect the case and not to do any jeopardy if we ended up in a courtroom at some point in the future, was very focused on what the actual definition of terrorism was for a prosecutable case under the federal system. However, the domestic terrorism, there's not a charge of domestic terrorism that you can charge somebody with. And I sensed the need in our community and the conversation. In engaging in those conversations, I was very comfortable calling him a domestic terrorist because it was obvious what he had done to our community. He had put a level of fear in our community that under the definition in the Patriot Act, I felt like it was very appropriate at that point to call him a domestic terrorist.
What would you say you and APD learned from the investigation and from this whole case?
I think from the investigative perspective, the value of partnerships. We, on day one of this bombing series, March 2nd, had our federal partners on the scene because those relationships already exist. We have several members of the Austin Police Department that sit on federal task forces and work side by side with our federal partners in Austin every day. Those relationships paid dividends during this investigation because we had already established them and we were able to work much more closely with these folks because we know them. So I think the value of the relationships with our law enforcement partners, but also the relationship with our community. We work so hard day by day, week by week to build trust, you know, really in a line of work that sometimes trust gets eroded just due to one incident. And we absolutely understand that. But that trust was important because we needed the community to have faith and confidence in us that we were doing everything that we could do and that we were bringing every resource to bear. But more importantly, that they needed hopefully to follow the advice we were given the community on how to stay safe, how to report suspicious activities, suspicious items. Because in the heart, in the heat of this investigation, you know, it was very tenuous times because we didn't know where the next one would be. We didn't know how it would be delivered, how it would be activated. I remember giving interviews and speaking regularly about this is not the time for us to be panicked. We cannot succumb to panic. We have to have a high level of concern. And we have to be diligent in everything we're doing. But if we were to become panicked, then we would make it easier, I think, for people to fall victim. Because when you're in that panic mode, you're not always thinking straight. You're not always seeing everything. And our community held strong and came together.
Does APD do anything differently based on the case and the investigation and what you all learned from it?
Well, I think you learn from everything. This one gave us opportunities to learn at such a higher level as far as just operating a large-scale operation. We decided on March 12th, after that second and third bomb, when we recognized immediately that this was not an isolated incident that took place on March 2nd, but instead our city was under attack, we immediately opened up the command center with our partners in the federal agencies. And I think a lot of lessons were learned on coordinating such a large scale effort. If you could imagine the number of tips that were being sent into our center for investigation and what that process looked like as investigative teams went out, you know, following down each and every lead, whether it be interviewing someone who thought they saw something, whether it be capturing video from a neighborhood or a business or other items that were used as evidence in this case. There was so much going on behind the scenes, and it gave us an opportunity to really learn how to oversee such a large operation.
Did you have the department go through any new kinds of training? For example, bias training, maybe after those first couple of cases and there was concern in the community about the response. Any kind of new trainings that came out of this case?
I'm not going to sit here and claim that the trainings are a result of the case, but we regularly look for ways to teach cultural sensitivity and bias prevention. The entire Austin Police Department has already gone through a nationally renowned program, Fair and Impartial Policing, and geared towards that very, very purpose of making sure that we're not practicing any implicit bias as we police. And we will continue to look for opportunities that arise to stay best trained in that area.
Are there ways that you think the serial bombing case has changed our city?
Well, I don't think a city can go through this and not be changed. you know, as a community, you know, I think what we recognized is we enjoy a very safe community in Austin. We're the fifth safest major city when it comes to violent crime, but this demonstrated that that can fall apart in a moment's notice, just as it can in any other city. I think it highlighted for us as a community, really, the need to know your neighbors. I mean, we really needed to come together. And if you didn't already know your neighbors, that was a time that we needed you to get to know your neighbors, because the only way you'll know what looks out of place and what looks suspicious is if you know what looks right and who is your neighbor. And so I think as a community, we understood the importance of relationships. I don't know if at a community level it was recognized how well the community, you know, came together, again, because it was such a tenuous time. But I can say, looking back now, I think that our community was as together as they could be during this, during what was an extremely trying and dangerous time.
Austin Police Chief Brian Manley, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.